And if you got your Bible, lift it up high. Father, I have your word, and I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have what it says it has. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week a challenge was brought forth. The week before that a challenge was brought forth by Apostle Keith. And the challenge continues to move forward. I don't know about you, but the five questions that Pastor Keith had shared with us is just resounding in my spirit last week. I believe everyone is saved, but the question you have to ask yourself is, are you part of the remnant? And what did we say the remnant was? Okay, the one that doesn't fit into the world. So that should systematically begin to allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction of how much your life is like the world. And as we saw today in the missions video, there are believers. We have brothers and sisters in countries that are very hostile. We have sections of the globe that are very hostile to believers. And very shortly, this nation, which we are in a post-Christian move of God, is going to become even more hostile towards us. The question I want to ask you today is, what are you willing to do to follow Jesus Christ? What are you willing to do to follow Jesus Christ? Do you have a passion for Jesus Christ because you live in a country right now that is not threatening you, that you live in a freedom of, well, you know, it's just me and Jesus and I can share with people I want? Or are you aggressively, are you passionately seeking after Him and trying to find out what His will is for your life and how it plays in the vision of streams? Because I've tried to let you know for the last 6 months, things are changing. And as we're moving, this change is coming. And God is reiterating to us that we need to pursue Him. We need to engage Him. We need to passionately fall in love with Him. And if our heart is cold towards what we see other believers who have maybe a scrap of a verse, and they go to a latrine to worship God, you're not doing me a favor by coming here. Okay? Jesus gave us favor. That's what grace is. And so, I want to challenge you to do your job. And if you don't know what your job is, come Friday night. We will find out what our job is as the church. Okay? Not individually, but as the church. Because we're going to talk about intercessory prayer, and we're going to talk about taking it a notch further. We're going to talk about apostolic prayer, prophetic prayer. We're going to talk about those things. We're going to talk about these banners. These are not dressings to make this building look good. These are actual tools of the trade in which we can focus on Him who is worthy of all praise and honor and glory, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you're here to sit and be comfortable, I want to make you uncomfortable as possible as I can, because you may have received salvation, but if you are not engaging the people around you, what do you really have? You see, one of the things I've come to learn is I don't want to just be a believer in Jesus Christ. I want my life to count for something. And it's counting because it's beginning to impact your lives. And I've went through many, many challenges. The Lord has challenged me continuously. Even while I was going through the sickness of this attack, God was challenging and encouraging me that He was not done with me yet. And so, if He could take this old 60-year-old guy and still want to do things, guess what? He hasn't given up on you yet either. Because if he gives up on you, he's calling you home. As Paul says, you know, if I'm not doing anything in the body, it's better for me to be in heaven. You have to make your life count. Acts 1 verse 8. The title of this message is called, We Need Power. Subtitle is Spiritual Growth. This is the Lord speaking, not only to the first church, but he's speaking to the modern church today. He says, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Why did Jesus come? Who could tell me? Why did Jesus come? Did he come because we were a bunch of nice people and he just wanted to hang out with us? Why did he come? What is our job? How? That's partly true, but it's to go and bring others into a relationship of God. Okay? Kingdom expansion is not just evangelism. Kingdom expansion is vision. Kingdom expansion is challenging you out of your comfort zone into becoming more of what God has predestined you to become. God is not a God who is insensitive to our situations and plight. Neither is Satan. Satan, we believe Satan before we believe God. And our lifestyles tell us that. If Jesus was to walk through the doors today and say, everybody's going, how many of us would leave? That's sad if you can't raise your hand. If you don't know where you're at, you know where you're at. And it's not a good place in Jesus Christ. But Jesus promised us something. He promised that we would have power. And some of the things I've been saying to the leaders for the last couple of years is, we were in a fellowship that almost broke out in power. I want to see God break out on us. I want to see God break out in this community. I want to see God change your life so that you are as radical as our Lord Jesus was. Radical may not be a fitting word. He was passionate about your souls and my soul. But he wants to empower us to be testimonials of what he has done in our lives. And what he has done in your life and in my life, they can't take away. They can kill our bodies, but they can't take our testimony away. I heard a story of a family in India had cried out, and the family came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Shortly after that, the people found out in this village that this family became Christians. And so they called the tribal chief, the elder, to the people and gathered his family into the square. And the elder said to him, you must renounce your faith in Jesus Christ. And they refused. And so he said to the father, he says, if you don't renounce your faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to kill your kids. And he refused. And his kids were slaughtered right before his eyes. The elder came back after that, took the man again and said, look, I'm giving you another opportunity to renounce faith in Jesus Christ. He refused. And the elder said, if you do not renounce your faith in Jesus Christ, we are going to kill your wife. He refused, and they slaughtered her in front of his eyes. The elder came to him again and said, if you do not renounce your faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to kill you. And he began to start singing a psalm. No turning back. I'm going onward. I'm not turning back. If no one comes with me, I'm still going on. There's no turning back. The elder interrupted him a third time and said to him, if you don't renounce Jesus Christ, we will kill you right now. And he kept singing the song. And he cut his head off. It's not the end of the story. About a year later, this elder was provoked in his spirit, so much so that he had actually seen faith in action. And he renounced his faith in his religion and committed himself to Jesus Christ. Of which he went to the center of the town. He called the people together and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that village had a massive revival. It takes power. Were they afraid? Absolutely. But our God is fearless. He is courageous. And we need His power. We need His courage to carry out our part of the Great Commission. Doesn't matter how young and how old you are. What matters is we do our job. Amen? Jesus was God incarnate. Simply meaning God came in the flesh. He lived with us. And His purpose for coming to live with us was to reveal the Father to everyone that He came in contact with. He came to fellowship with mankind. And He came to experience our hardships. And He experienced it all, including rejection and loneliness. Jesus was man and He was God. But Jesus did not become Christ until He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus started a revolution. He took a remnant of men, and that remnant turned the world upside right for the first time. And slowly, over 2,000 years, the world has caused a slow disintegration of that. Jesus knows how to build His church. He told Peter, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you really look at that scripture, the church is mobilized against the kingdoms of this world, the gates of hell. They are pressing in. They are pursuing. And they are devastating the kingdoms of this world. Why? Because they have been empowered. Groups have been empowered. But there is going to be a tremendous change that is going to happen in the spirit very shortly. Jesus gave gifts to us. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, of which some of you are called. And the question is, why are you not passionately following and getting equipped to do your job? You see, it took 30 years for me to get where I'm at. And I just rejoice in God And he continues to dig deeper into my heart, get more junk out of my life. But as that brother in India, I'm not turning back. I'm not going to apologize for who I am. I'm not going to apologize for my love for Jesus Christ. As a pastor once said, Bob Shadows, I'm in love with a man. And he said this in the middle of a diner. Stood up on a table and shouted at the top of his lungs, I'm in love with a man. And began to preach the gospel. It took courage. But he was empowered by the Spirit to do this. God came to establish his church upon this land. And there was five things that he came to establish in here so that his church could begin to drive the darkness back. One was to care for one another in love. It was to be a witness of this love, to evangelize people and tell them about this great God that we serve and how great his love is. And as I said last week, he didn't promise to change our situations, but he did promise to change our lives. The church is to establish God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And what we have going on right now today is a church in flux. Some of the church wants to do what God wants to do, and others are throwing pastors out of the pulpit because they want their little club. They're in control. This is my church. Well, as I said in an elders meeting one time in a Presbyterian church, and I told an elder, I said, I didn't see you on the cross. I didn't see you, your blood poured out. I saw my Lord's poured out. It is his church, and we will do what he says to do. And that elder got so bent out of shape, he walked out of the church. I'm not going to apologize. We're to expand kingdom authority and influence in this world, not the other way around. And for too long, the church has been under the auspices and tutelage of the world. It is now time for the church to arise and shine. But we need power. Real power. And only with this power can we destroy the works of the devil. And I encourage you to really think about what that means to you. Those of us who are in covenant relationship, we have a sword that says no matter the cost. And that's what we have to live by. All of us. But you have to determine if you're willing to be that passionate, that bold, put everything on the line for your God. Jesus, when he was baptized in the Spirit, when John took him in the inner River Jordan and baptized him, the Holy Spirit came upon him, as it's described, as a dove, and he became Christ, the Anointed One. That's what Christ is. That's not his last name. That's who he is. It's his title. That's why I said that's he was God in the flesh, but he was not anointed yet. And from there, Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted of the devil. And of course, we know the discourse that happened there. He was a man of the Word. He wrote the Word. He was the Word. He was with God in the beginning. He's still God now. And he took on flesh. But Jesus, when he rose out of the water, brought an end to an old order. The order of the Aaronic priesthood, in which a certain group of the whole were priests. Now what he was doing was he was inaugurating the Melchizedek order, of which we're a part of. Have no beginning and no end. They don't know about Melchizedek. But we are kings and priests to our God. That's who we are. And if you don't believe that, you need to get into the Word. You need to start seeing what God says about you and start agreeing with Him. And stop listening to this nonsense that's out there trying to tell you something contrary to the Word of God. At the end of this order, God established a new order. And because of this power, Jesus made some certain declarations. And we know that Scripture describes the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it was expedient for Him to leave. Why? So that the third person of the Godhead could come and dwell on us and in us. And He's described as a dove. He's described as fire. He's described as wind. And He's also described as water. All because He manifests Himself in different ways to those who are seeking Him. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not a power. He's not a thing. He is a person. And He operates completely in unison with the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And there's no disjoining them. Turn to John 1. John 1. We'll read the first 5 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness does not understand it. It's interesting to me that Jesus, coming back from the desert experience and the temptations of Satan, goes into a synagogue and He reads Isaiah 61. What we know is Isaiah 61. He reads from the scroll of Isaiah. And what happens in here is He gives a job description of Messiah and tells them plainly in their ears that that scripture is fulfilled today in Him. Radical. Radical. And we're afraid to say who we are in Jesus Christ to a world that is tumbling in chaos. And of course they responded, you know, oh, praise God, brother. Praise God, you know, the Messiah has come. We received you. No. You see, and I've taught about the religious spirit. Those who operate in a religious spirit, which is a spirit of murder, try to kill Him. The religious spirit is trying to kill your faith in Jesus Christ. It's trying to keep you quiet about who you are and what He has done. Jesus is no longer the Lamb of God. He is King of Kings. He is the restoring King. And He is going to come again for His bride. That is us. This is all described in Revelation 20. Still a future event, but it's closer today than it was yesterday. Jesus died on the cross to break the power of sin that controlled the first Adam, of which our flesh is part of that. He broke that power. He rose from the dead, and then everyone who placed their faith in Him, He regenerated with His very Spirit. The life that was in him, he now imparts to us. And when he went away, he said that the Holy Spirit would come. We would have need of the Holy Spirit to come. And yet many churches don't even recognize the Holy Spirit. Many more don't even want him in through the doors. And many of them think of him less than God, that they can manipulate and control. One of the chief purposes of the Holy Spirit and what is happening in our midst and in the world right now is he is creating a new kind of believer, of which that is you. If you've named Christ as Lord and Savior, then you're being recreated into his image. You are being challenged to become radical. Your passivity is going to be a thing of the past, or you will hide someplace else. God wants to use your life. He wants to make your life count. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. And every time Satan comes up to tell you how wicked you are, how angry you've been, what kind of self-destruction you've done in your life, you need to turn around and tell him, your day is numbered. The Lord is coming for me. I'm part of his bride. And your kingdom is overthrown. In Jesus' name. That's the power and authority that you have. But you have to believe. You have to have faith that what God said about you is true. And you have to walk in that continuously every day. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Because this is a daily fight. Not to give in to temptation. Not to believe the lie. And not to steer your life into the gutter. Jesus is coming again to rule and reign on this earth, and that remnant that is passionate about him is also going to rule 1,000 years with him. So the Bible says. That's in Revelation 20. Check it out. Jesus' main thing now is to reestablish the Father's will on the earth. And he has given us the privilege, because we get to do this. We get to set the captives free. We get to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We get to drive demons out. We get to heal the brokenhearted. We get to do these things with Jesus. And because there's more of us, we get to do more things than Jesus did because of his Spirit. But we need the Holy Spirit to teach us. We need the Holy Spirit to train us. And we need to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work actively in our lives. And that means accepting the challenge. We have to accept the challenge. It isn't someone else's job. It's all our jobs. And you need to step up, because some of those who have been doing your job are tired. You see, Christianity, I like to put it this way, is a team sport. You're part of a team that has already won. I only got one person here that believes that? Okay, I got two. I get three. Come on, come on, come on. I can't do any bidding here, you know, but... But we've won. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. My schedule's... I don't want to hear about it. Where you've been, I've gone through. And I still pursued God. Well, you don't understand. My kids. You don't understand. I had two kids. I trained them. And when they were in the house of the Lord, they honored God. Not just in the house of the Lord. They learned to honor God in their very lives. We all praise and glory and honor to Him. That's why we were created. For His praise and His glory. Not ours. We're so busy trying to establish something that God wants us to jettison. And then we feel sorry about things that have happened in our lives. And so what we do is we try to anesthetize the pain in one vessel or another. We need to give that up. Give it to Jesus and be totally consumed by the Lord Himself. His love, His passion for people. It's interesting in the Genesis account. If you look at the Genesis account, in Genesis 1, 1 and 2, there is so much in there that when Jesus came and it said there was a light that shined in the darkness from the tribes of Naphtali. And then you look at the Genesis account and you look at the account now of what is happening. There is great darkness in the land. And the church hasn't understood because we're so busy trying to convert people instead of making them disciples of Jesus Christ that we miss the mark. And the devil knows that his end is here. And so, what is the power of the devil? His only power is to lie to us and deceive us. That is all he has. And that lie and deception comes either through our ears or through our eyes. And what happens is we become like Thomas. And we say, unless I see or touch the Lord, I won't believe. That's not how it works. I can't see the Holy Spirit. I can't see Jesus. But when I'm there praising Him, His presence comes upon me. And it is so sweet. And it's so filling of my heart. That I just have joy. Because the Word says, in the presence of the Lord is joy forevermore. And we shouldn't come to an edifice just to get joy. We are with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords every day. We should have joy unspeakable 24/7. No matter what situation we find ourselves in. I mean, last year was a tough year for my family. But we still have joy. We still pursue God. Even in my hospital bed, we were cutting up, having fun. And the nurse came in here and said, "Now, Mr. Stiles, you're having too much fun." And I said, "God in His great mercy has kept me. He loves me. And I just rejoice in that." My situation was dire. My situation was bad. My sister-in-law suffered from the knowledge of cancer. And she beat it. And then she had a brain tumor. And the word from the doctors in January last year was that you should be lucky to see her at Christmas. And of course my brother-in-law said, "You know, you mean without treatment." And the doctor caught himself real fast and said, yeah. But the truth of the matter was, she was gone before Thanksgiving. And it's not easy. It's not easy to watch my wife who has only person left in her family, the one that she was the closest to, have such a hole in her heart. But she fills that hole with Jesus. And I'm undone. I'm undone. It doesn't minimize the reality. What it does show forth is faith. The faith that she has to let Jesus fill her up. That situation, although was real and still is, so is Jesus. And so is His power. And God said to us through the prophets, He was going to do awesome things. Turn to Joel, the second chapter. Verse 28 says, And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. He's not discriminating. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Jess, you have dreams? Dale, you have dreams? That only confirms what the Word says. Young men and women will have dreams. I dream dreams and have visions. Some in between. I'm old, but not old yet. Even upon my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens, on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned dark and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. And the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Remnant. There's only going to be a small group that survives this. The question is, are you going to be one of them? Paul exhorts us, make your election and calling sure. Are you in Christ or are you sitting on the fence? You see, streams is going forward. As I said to a young man one day, he says, Pastor, you know, I want to get there, but I want you to come back and visit me at my stage. And I said, I'm not coming to where you're at. You have to come up to us. That's what God says. I visited you one time in your mess. I healed your mess. Now it's time for you to grow up. Come up to be with me. Be holy as I'm holy. Be perfect as I'm perfect. That word perfect means grow up. Be mature. I don't want pastor talking in my life. I don't need pastor saying anything. I won't till you ask. And understand, your situation is your situation. Because Jesus wants to change your situation by changing the way you think about things. That's the first thing. Second thing is to be obedient to what He tells you to do. I'm not going to tell you anything that He hasn't told me to do and to walk in. It's not that difficult. If your salvation is Jesus as Savior, you may not be part of the remnant. If you say He's Lord, but you're disobedient, you may not be part of the remnant. You see, Jesus has to be Savior and Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. The devil tempted Jesus. And Jesus, in turn, took 12 men, turned them loose on the world. Were they anointed? No, they weren't anointed. They just did what God told them to do. And how can I say that they weren't anointed? Well, that's because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet. Jesus hadn't been taken away yet. And for 2,000 years, the Spirit began to pour out on the first church. And we call that Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And what happened? The Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, right? Tongues of fire burned upon them. And what did they do? They ran out into the streets and they were declaring the marvelous works of God in their native tongues, but those who heard them speaking heard their words in their tongue. And they praise God. Now think about this. When we become baptized in the Spirit, and we go out and preach in English, God is a God of all peoples. He will turn our words into Spanish, into Chinese, into Vietnamese, into Afrikaner. He just tells us to go and preach. The rest is His job. Because He says, the words that you preach, what will follow? Signs, miracles, and wonders. When you do what He tells you to do. We need the Holy Spirit because in this day that we're at, and I've taught you guys about spiritual warfare, about fighting the armies of the demonic principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. They come in with such spirits as Jezebel, religious spirits, witchcraft, antichrist spirits, and they're in the church today. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, without Him telling us who's what, we don't know how to minister to them the truth. John 16:13-15 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all truth. He will speak not of His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is Mine. And that is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. Do you know what the future holds for you? I do. I know what the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. Oh, that's because you're a pastor. You're so spiritual. No. I just do what He says to do. When was the last time you had a general conversation with the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you threw your Bible against the wall? When was the last time you were challenged in your prayer closet? Not from the pulpit, your prayer closet. When was the last time you realized that the path that you're on is not the path that you want to be on, but you're afraid to alter course because you're afraid of what others may think of you or say about you? The Spirit's job is to educate us, to comfort us when we mourn, to edify us, to encourage us. But His main job is to empower us with love. That's His main job. And if we don't love those out there because we're incapable of loving those in here, what's it say about your heart? There was a woman who loved God so much she went to the latrines and started a Bible study, praised God, and served a few years in prison. Her family decimated. I'm comfortable. I don't have to do that. God's not called me to the mission field. You're wrong. God said, go ye. Go you can to the world. Go to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends. Go to your neighbor. Go. Go. He didn't put a limitation to where you're to go. We do that to ourselves. The question is, do you really want the Holy Spirit? Do you want His power? The things that are changing is the Holy Spirit is going to dwell here. And those who don't want him won't be here. Those of us that want him and inviting him, because he is making the church of Jesus Christ. He is turning us into warriors. He is turning us to become fearless, not afraid, even unto death. Jesus said, what more can they do if they just kill your body? Be afraid of him who is able to destroy both the body and your soul. You don't understand, Pastor. You just don't understand. No, it's not I don't understand. I don't excuse myself. And when I stand before the Lord, I want him to put my life up there and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You made disciples. You challenged them. You encouraged them. You led them as I led them. See, I'm not telling you to do something I haven't already done and am willing to do no matter what. I've done things in my life that I'm ashamed of, but because of God, because of Christ and His mercy and His love for my life and for my family, He blesses me. In spite of how destitute and how ruinous I am to my own situation, He blesses me. And He blesses streams of life. And the more of us that can grab a hold of this and have our passion unleashed. You see, people, we've heard this story. People don't want to know how much you know until they see how much you care. Let's talk about passion. What is your passion for Jesus Christ? What is He testing you and preparing you for? What are you doing to make your life count for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you know that NRP has a team going to the White House on Mondays to protest about the treatment of an American pastor? His name is Pastor Syed, who is Iranian. He is in prison, and our government is doing nothing to get his release. And they are down there every Monday getting locked up because it's illegal to do that. They're willing to pay the price. I'm willing to pay the price to see you flourish. I'm passionate about Jesus Christ. I'm passionate about what He wants to do. And I am not going to make an excuse why I'm passionate. You need to search your hearts and your souls and find out what it is that caused you to get cold. And pray that the Holy Spirit come and ignite you again. Amen. Father, we just come before you, Lord. And I know it was long, God, but I am passionate about what you're doing in the land. God, you are coming, and all those who have heard the message and call upon your name shall be saved. But God, it is the remnant. It is the remnant that does the heavy lifting. It is the remnant, God, that goes before you in all passion, seeking your will, God, for their lives and doing it in obedience, no matter the cost, God. We pay the price. And that doesn't mean we're looking for a medal or a token and saying how great we are. God, we're doing it because how great our love for you is. It is for your glory, God. We're not having churchianity anymore, God. It's sickening. It's a religion, God. It's not edifying, God. And people are not coming to you because we have played around. We are the ones that are at fault, not you, God. Forgive us. Forgive us, Holy Spirit. Forgive us. Clean us up. Convict us of our sins. Convict us of our hardness of heart. Convict us of our indifference, God. Convict us of lack of passion. Convict us about our disobedience to you. God, for those who want to do your will, they need to learn of you, God. Father, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.